Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Matthew. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Let's go on, verse 7. Get serious here a little bit about prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So is this the blab and grab concept? Is this the, just name it and claim it? Is this the, what is Jesus really saying? Because he says, for everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And remember, he's speaking to his disciples immediately. Others are listening in, but he's speaking immediately to his disciples, teaching them something. Now, what is the criteria of a disciple? What is the criteria of a disciple? That they're going to deny themselves, that they're going to take up their cross, and that they're going to follow Jesus. So they're not praying selfishly. They're not seeking for things just for themselves. They're not, so we want to think about that. Be open to that. Know that those are the kind of things we want to be praying, seeking things that are going to be of benefit. And this idea here is when it says ask, seek, and knock, it's saying it in a way that is to mean keep on. It's an ongoing thing that we should be doing, not just a one-time deal. But we can bring things to the Lord. Now, we just covered, and you'd have to listen to it, but in chapter 6, we covered that repetitious prayer. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, pray specifically. You can ask many times. In other words, persistence is important in our prayer lives. We think, well, I prayed about that. The one quick shot prayer, and that's it. Guess that's not meant to be. Well, no, sometimes we got to pray and be persistent and really get the mind in the heart of God, because prayer isn't just me declaring what I want. It's me hearing from the Lord what his will is in a matter, in a situation. God, what do you want to speak to my heart? And God will oftentimes even change our prayer lives, won't he? He'll change what we're praying for, because he starts to change our hearts in the situation. But he guarantees that if we ask, we'll receive from the Lord. And if we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be open. Or what man is there among you, if we're talking, he's talking about relationship here. What is the nature of our relationship? If there's a man among you, if his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, we're just people, right? Born into sin, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, give you good things as you ask him? Isn't that awesome? God will respond. God will answer. You can ask. God will take care of you. God is interested in what's happening in your life. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And what we find here summed up in these first 11 verses is kind of that golden rule that we've talked about, that do unto others concept. Just simply treat somebody like you'd like to be treated. What a great, great thought. And how are you going to do it? Can't do it on our own, can we? I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to do that. I can't do that on my own. I could like to think I could, but I know I can't. I would do things selfishly. I know I would. That's just the nature. That's our nature to do it that way. Even in noble things, in nobility, it can still be that way. And he goes on in verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So, we live in a world today that says, you've just got to broaden your viewpoint a little bit on some of these things. Really? Is that really what the Lord would want us to do? Broaden our viewpoint on some of those things? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. I'm not talking about just general information. I'm talking about our real view of the Lord. We want to have an open view of God, but we also know that, man, there's only one way, Jesus said. And he was the way, the truth, and life is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through him. There's no other option. Now, we can sit around and say, well, gosh, it just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. There is no other way. The thing is it is exclusive, but it is also all-inclusive. It is exclusive. He is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through him. That's exclusive, right? But it's all inclusive because he says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So it's also all inclusive that anybody, whoever wills, whoever wants to give their heart to the Lord can come to know Jesus Christ. God will make himself real to them. So it's open, the door's wide open, but there's only one way through it, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's a narrow path and difficult many times. You'll find that to be true. It's not always the easy route, that's for sure. But it's the route that God would have us to take and the route that God will honor. This gets into this idea of judging with a good perspective in verse 15, or a good viewpoint of it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. In other words, we are to have discernment. We're to pray. We're to ask the Lord for discernment. Is this spiritually fruitful? We've got the Word of God that lays out for us the fruit of the Spirit of God. Is this something that's peaceable? Is this something that's going, is this part of the heart of God? Is this summed up in the love of God? Is this really fruitful? How many are so manipulative in even what we view sometimes through television and some of the things, even in the name of Christianity? And we see it and we go, whew, you know, they're making merchandise of the people of God. And how cautious we should be to understand and be aware that there are those who have bad motives. Now, are we to judge them to condemnation? No. Are we to walk away and go the other direction? Absolutely. There's nothing good that's going to come from it. They're just out for their own gain. This thought is, Paul speaks about it several times, the same kind of thought. Peter talks about it. It's a consistent thought in Scripture about being careful and being aware of those things as they happen and how it can be easily something that is a wolf, dressed up like a sheep, but it's really a wolf. Improper motives is really the thought here. I never knew you. Look at this in verse 21. Not everyone ties right in with their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is it just words, or does the life balance up against it, you see? Is there fruit? Is there spiritual fruit in our lives? We should be, the Lord desires to come to your life and to my life and find spiritual fruit. Our hearts are supposed to be his garden in that sense. And he should be able to come in and find, you know, his fruit coming forth out of his garden. He wants to come and fellowship with you in that way. That's his desire. But there are many that cry out and say, Lord, Lord. They will say this. And they'll say, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What a frightful thing. Can you imagine those who've heard that, you know, thinking that they were, you know, in their mind. I don't know that they think they're saved or whatever. I don't know what kind of deception they're under. But just the thought that they're thinking that something's right. There are many different cult groups out there that really believe they're doing the right thing, don't they? They really believe it. They believe that they're doing the right thing. But that doesn't make it right, does it? In other words, they can be very, very sincere, right? But they can be sincerely wrong. Frightening. This is why it's so important for us to know the Lord, know his word, trust him at his word, and follow God. And not get caught up in this other stuff because it's so destructive or can be so destructive. Can you imagine those that'll get to the other side and this is their claim. It's not, you know me, Lord. It's not that. It's, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't this happen? Didn't that happen? All in your name, but it was all for their gain. There was nothing really about Jesus in the middle of it at all. And Jesus says, hey, I don't even know who you are. You know, in the sense of relationship, like we're to have with the Lord. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, in verse 24, Jesus says, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I love how practical Jesus is. He takes a simple concept of just building a house. All of us live in a structure. It's our home. Whether it's an apartment complex, a condominium complex, a single family dwelling, an apartment above a garage. I don't know where you live. But the whole thing is it's something that's pretty important and pretty significant to us. The house that we're building, that God's wanting to build in our lives, is that spiritual dwelling of his presence within us. You know, that's something inside our lives. What's he wanting to build inside your life? And the whole thought is that it's so easy for us to build on other things. What is the most important thing to you? What is the most important thing to me? What do you consider the most important thing? We can say the right words, but the actions of our lives reveal our hearts. So we can say the right thing, but what really is the most important thing? And it's revealed by the actions in our lives and our lifestyles. It's revealed, you know, through how we live. And this is interesting to me that Jesus says, man, you know what? We got to get on a solid foundation. The guarantee out of verses 24 through 27, the guarantee is that the storm's coming. That's the thing we're guaranteed. The storm's coming. Think, ooh, man, this is a prophet of doom thing. This is bad. I don't like these kind of messages, you know, but the storm's coming. We experience turbulent times in our lives, don't we? Is every marriage perfect? I doubt it. Is every parent-child relationship just perfect? No. It's just not. Do all of us get along perfectly with our parents? Probably not. The thought is, do you get along with every coworker? I doubt it. You know, things are not perfect around us. The storm's going to come. It's a guarantee for all of our lives that you will experience, I will experience, if you have not already, you will. I guarantee it will happen, and it does happen to every one of us. Storms come, turbulent times. Things don't always go the way we'd like to see them go. Therein lies the proof of everything that's been going on in your life up to that point. You see, when we're building on the rock, we don't fear the storm. Most of the time, we live our lives in fear of the time coming where something's going to get cattywampus and all out of control, and we're not going to be able to deal with it, and it's just going to go sideways on us. We live in the fear of that, and that fear is a powerful motivator in our lives. It causes us to do a lot of different things. But the deal is that fear is as a driving force. As we look at that, the storm's going to come. For sure, the storm's going to come. And we should be building with the knowledge of, not necessarily just the fear of the storm, but the knowledge that the storm's going to happen. If I know it's going to happen, I want to build on a solid foundation. Some structures that we've built or that I've observed being built, I watched one guy dig down, and he was kind of really on a clay bed. In this part of the country, there's a lot of good rock beds to build on, and there's a lot of clay in different spots, and different types of clay. You can get down, you can excavate, and you go down a few feet, 3-4 feet, and you get down into this clay bed, and it's really like, it's a nice clay pan. It seems really good. It can seem, especially different times of the year, it can seem very solid. And you scrape it off, and then you set up your forms, and you put your footing down. And your footing is that first part that hits, you know, it's the first part of the structure. And you put steel in it and all this. You can call the concrete truck comes out, and you pump it and you fill all your forms. And then as you look at this, and the footing can be perfectly straight. It can be the right dimensions and everything. But if, in fact, it's on a clay bed, And all of a sudden, you get enough moisture in one season, that clay bed can shift and move and flex. It can also do this thing where it heaves. It can swell up and heave. And it can push up and it'll bust it and crack it. And then it pushes up and it cracks then the rest of the foundation. Not just the footing, but the foundation. And it starts to crack all that. And then it goes up into your walls. You start seeing all these cracks in your drywall. And everybody's going, thinking, oh my gosh, that's what's happening to my house. No. Lessons in construction. But the reality is Jesus is sharing something with us. It's very real. The storm's going to come. In other words, there's factors underneath and around that we don't always know that much about. There's factors out there. There's things that are going to happen. And you want to be on a solid foundation. Solid foundation, no problem. What is it that your life is built upon, you see? It can be built upon the things that we've acquired. Or the things that we want to acquire. So it's this driving force. You see, I want to have this. It can be built on that. It can be built on different things. You know, I've watched, with three boys, I've been in more sporting activities than I can even remember. And just going to those, man, you watch some of the parents that maybe weren't so good at sports. You all know who I'm talking about. It's probably been some of us from time to time, I suppose. But they're vicariously, enjoying or living this activity through their kid instead of letting their kid be just their kid. I really believe that our children should have their own identity, their own relationship with the Lord, and be who they are. They are who they are. They're unique and they're different, and they're going to have different skill sets and different things than each one of us, but that's okay. We want to help them develop who they are in the Lord. That's really our goal. Help them develop who they are in the Lord. It's not to make them who we want them to be. We want them to be who God wants them to be. So we look at this. We want to be who God wants us to be. Our dad's wanting to shape and mold our life. We want to be who he wants us to be. He wants us to be built on the rock. The foundation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, an ongoing relationship, a working relationship with the Lord, not just I went forward one time. Great. That was a good initial start. Now you want to continue to grow, and God wants to build on that foundation, on the rock. You remember, as we go on in Matthew's gospel, we'll hit, I think it's Matthew chapter 16. I don't want to say this inaccurate. Let me check it to be sure. Nope. Anyway, in the Gospels there, we find out, you remember when Jesus, the disciples were there with him, and they turned, and Jesus looked at him and said, who do men say that I am? And some say this, and some say that. And yeah, well, what about you guys? And you remember Peter piped up and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Boom. Good answer, Peter. The Father in heaven has revealed this to you. The only way that you can know who he is if the Father reveals it to you. That being born again, that relationship, entering into the relationship. And from that point on, what? His identification changed, didn't it? His identity changed. He was no longer shifting sand, Simon, shifting sand, but he changed his name to the little rock, piece of the rock, We got our piece of the rock with Jesus Christ. You see, he is that foundation, that sure foundation that we want to build on. No matter what goes on in your life, no matter what happens, we stand firm in our foundation with Jesus Christ. It's so, so important. Jesus said, he pointed over there and he said, look at the rock, there's a big rock there where the water's coming out. And he says, upon this rock, and he wasn't saying that rock, he's saying upon the rock, the confession and the profession of a relationship with Jesus Christ, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we profess. That's what we confess. That is what we want to build our lives upon. So important. Again, brothers and sisters, a lot we could build our lives upon, and we want to be very careful, very, very careful. And so it was in verse 28, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You remember the scribes would teach it, and this is the way they'd go about it. They'd say, so-and-so, they'd say this person or that leader, and they say, so-and-so says this. And then they'd say, you know, they'd give these different arguments about it and everything. But Jesus was definitive and clear. He spoke with authority because he is the living word. And he spoke with authority and definitively and said, no, you've heard it said. Yeah, these guys are talking about that, but you've heard it said. But I say to you, this is really how it comes down. Isn't that awesome? Imagine these people. They sensed it. They could tell. Why? Because he was simply just giving them the word. Leads us to an interesting thought. That's really what we're about at Calvary Chapel. That's really our desire, is to not just, you know, I know there's a lot of different things that go on out there, and I know there's a lot of different, I understand all that, but I really believe that it's important to go through the Word, to be digesting the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Your faith in Jesus Christ is going to grow by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to develop in your personal Christian experience just by coming and receiving and hearing the Word of God. And so Sunday mornings, we're going through Matthew's Gospel, verse by verse. Wednesday nights, we're going through Genesis right now, verse by verse. Now, when we hit some of the baguettes, well, we're going to move pretty quickly. You may have to read silently. And I won't read aloud. Can't pronounce most of their names. But the whole thought, though, is that we just go through the Word. Because many, we find, will say, well, we're a Bible-teaching church. And I think that's awesome. But I think that really means that we're teaching the Bible, that we're going through the Word of God. You know, and I think there's a time and a place to take a portion out of a text that we're going through and really go through it and pick it apart. I think that's great. But right now, we're just wanting to move through the Word. We're going through the New Testament on Sunday mornings right now and the Old Testament on Wednesday nights. We may flip it around before too long and do just the reverse of that. But we'll just be continuing to teach through the Word. I think it's really important because that's what's going to change your life. That's what changes my life. That's what's going to change our lives. That's what's going to change us as a body of believers, is to just go through simply the Word of God. Let God's Holy Spirit speak to us, minister to us. And let him convict and do the work that he wants to do. Let him prune and do whatever it is that is his desire. We're his people, and we want him to have his way. And I believe that. I believe that the Holy Spirit moves in our gatherings as we go through the Word together. And so it's kind of neat when we see Jesus went through things this way. We want to follow Jesus' example, you know, just going through simply and clearly and receiving what he has for us. Thank you for tuning in today and for listening to the radio program, for listening to God's Word. And I know God has a perfect plan for your life, and it starts really by giving our hearts to the Lord. If you've not given your heart to the Lord, or you're just in a place where you have a sense that you're distant from God and you just want to open your life up to the Lord, you know, the Word says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great to know that we have a God that's full of grace and mercy, that he's willing to pardon all of our sin, to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness? It's a simple prayer, just to give your life to Jesus. Man, all things become new when we give our lives to the Lord. If you just pray this simple prayer along with me, Jesus, I want to open my heart up to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin, my unrighteousness, that you would pardon me. I thank you so much for that grace and mercy that you've shown me. Lord, thank you for the love that put you on the cross, that you did that willingly for me. And Lord, again, I just open my heart to you. I receive you as my personal Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for that free gift of everlasting life that you've given me. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.